Well, let's get back into this stuff here. We've been looking at the ages of the earth, and right now we're up to the sixth age of the earth, which is the millennial reign. That's when Jesus Christ comes down here and rules and reigns with a rod of iron. But it's not just a rough time. He says, I'll rule and reign with a rod of iron, but he also says, that's going to be glorious. Let's take a peek back over again in Zechariah 14, which the whole chapter's again, about the same thing. We're kind of stuck on this living waters. There's a bunch of stuff we haven't even touched on living waters yet. The Bible says in Zechariah 14:8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be. Now these are living waters. This is different than just plain water. That water that overflowed the earth back there at different times was not living water. That living water doesn't show up in person until Jesus Christ gets here. Up till then, all he does is talk about it. This stuff is really different. Look at Jeremiah 2, verse 9 to 13. It says, Wherefore I yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, where's this living water come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. He tells that woman at the well, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't be offering me water. You'd be asking me for it. You'd be asking me for the living water. And if you drink of this living water, listen, you never thirst again. You don't need any more than that to know you've got eternal security. How are you going to lose your salvation and never thirst again? That ain't going to happen. You got eternal life. When he gives you that living water, that brings life with it. And he is the living water. In him is life. And he brought it with him. In fact, he is the living water. That source is Jesus Christ. This living water doesn't show up next to him. It comes from him. It's part of him somehow. They forsook God. They forsook the living water. Did they really forsake living water? Yes, they did, but they don't know what they're doing. He says the things that aren't seen are eternal, right? I guarantee you, you couldn't tell the difference if you looked at them between living water and regular water. You know why? Because that part of that stuff that's life is not obvious. It's not visible. That's the stuff that you get when you get saved. Did anybody see the difference in you when you got saved? No, they saw a little bit of the results because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. At least they were supposed to see that. Some of you would be hard-pressed to prove you're a Christian to anybody. How come? Who are we talking about, Brother Bob? I'd be hard-pressed sometimes. If God came to me and said, do you love me? And I said, you know I love you like Peter. He said, prove it. Oh, my goodness, man. There's only one thing I could do at that point, and that'd be just to weep uncontrollably. Just to think that I let him down that much. Man. When you consider what he's done for us and what he's promised us and what we bring to the table, how in the world could we neglect him like that? But we do. They not only forsook God, they forsook his righteousness, and they set out to create their own. That's what they did. So what they do? They went out there and they build these cisterns. What do you think this building is? It's a container. There's a bunch of churches around this world today, and those things are built by man, and they don't contain any water. There's cisterns that don't hold any water. What water are we talking about? We're talking about living water. There's a bunch of Church of Christ churches around here with baptistries up here. And those people believe that you got to be baptized to get saved. And if you don't get baptized, you can't be saved. But you can lose your salvation. But you can get saved again without having to get baptized again. That ain't the kind of living water I heard about. Living water I heard about, if I drink of that, I'll never thirst again. Well, they're not talking about drinking of anything. They're talking about drowning you in it. Might as well take a bar of soap up there. You'd be better off. You're not going to get clean in city water. You're not going to get life from city water. You can't even get clean through the living water. You say, what? You got to have the blood. Without that blood is no remission of sins. What good does it do you? I mean, if you don't disconnect some things when you get saved, if you don't separate the part that he saved from the part he didn't save, you've got no profit at all. All you're doing in the water is just getting outside of you wet. Stuff doesn't reach where you can't see. Those things that are unseen are eternal. And if you looked at my soul right now, you wouldn't even see it. Right on through it. You say you believe in ghosts? Man, I believe in ghosts. I'm not sure if I believe in the kind you can't see, though. Why do you say that? Well, because when Samuel was pulled up by the witch of Endor to talk to Saul, she recognized and he was dressed, had the clothes on. And he brings him up and he starts talking to him face to face. He wasn't talking to something that was spiritual, you know, you're sitting there and the table starts to shake and some smoke over in the corner and a little bit of noise, you know, and, oh, Aunt Betty, tell us where you hid your millions. Stuff like that. No, man. And not only that, he told him, he said, you're going to be just like me. You and your son's going to be like me about this time tomorrow. What's that? Dead. He knew the future. He does something. Not only that, he was at rest. He said, why have you discomforted me? What are you bugging me for, man? Like having a salesman come to the door right in the middle of dinner. Or call on the phone. Anyway, they set out to make their own righteousness, and there's a bunch of them that have. And the righteousness they've made is their own righteousness. What is that? We figured out our own way to get there. And every one of them is connected to their works. Every single one of them. Don't you know how much better they feel in a church that has gold inlaid on the inside? That had Michelangelo paint that ceiling? That have all those special little secret garments, you know, with the special buttonholes and the golden plates? You have no idea what's going on this planet. We think we have some kind of an idea what's actually happening around us. We don't have a clue. We're just kind of stumbling through life like little bitty kids, 2 and 3 years old, that don't really realize what's real and what isn't real. And we're so self-centered, we don't even care. It's like, oh, man, this is fun. Oh, I want more. That's all I want, more. Anyway, moving along, Jeremiah 17. There's some more stuff in Jeremiah about this living water. This stuff really gets kind of fun. This was really interesting to me. Jeremiah 17, 12 and 13. It says, a glorious high throne from the beginning in the place of our sanctuary. O Lord of hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You notice how that's spelled? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And what is that name significant of? That's not just God. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's all three of them. That's the only name that you can use that'll fit them all. Baptizing them in the name of the Lord. Well, so what do? Baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That'll cover them all. So that's the name. That's the fountain of living water. Who? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. How does that all fit together? Well, no man comes to the Lord except the Spirit draw him, right? So the Spirit has to make connection first, and he's got to draw and he's got to convict. Then the next thing that has to happen is that blood has to cleanse you. You say, Lord, save me. How's that take place? Well, he has to apply that blood. What happens? Well, that blood cleans out a special spot inside of you. And it saves that soul by cleansing it from all sin. Did he save this body? It's just a shell on the egg. Nobody eats that. There's two parts of that egg that are important, right? What are they? The white and the yolk. And one of those things like the spirit and one of them's like the soul. And you throw the outside away. Nothing special about that. Anyway, you got this water, the water of life. And I believe that's that water that came out of his side when they pierced him. And that was that water of life that not only when you get saved and you get cleaned, you end up back like Adam and Eve did before they sinned. Then he gives you what they missed on that tree of life. Now you live forever. Fixes both parts at the same time. So we partake. How's that? He that eateth me and drinketh my blood, you know, you'd ask of me and I'd give you water of life freely. So what do you get when you get saved? When you take that water of life, somehow by partaking, being a partaker, you get the Holy Spirit. Didn't he say that that Spirit was the fountains of living waters that issue out of you? Studied that a couple weeks ago. So you get the Spirit. Jesus Christ, the fountain of living waters. But it doesn't stop there. He said, L-O-R-D. So God's connected right back to that living water somehow. And he's tied right back into where that life comes from. You get all three of them at one time. And so when you're speaking as a Christian and you're witnessing to somebody and that Spirit comes out of your mouth that's a Holy Spirit, that thing's connected directly to life. And he says, salvation is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And you have no clue how close it is because you can't see it. And so you just go stumbling along thinking you got all the answers and we're right. You know, we got our bus ministry running and we're running all these missionaries and, well, we're getting souls saved left and right. And we got this Ruth Youth Program and we're keeping them out of the drug dens at night, you know, and we're keeping them off the streets, you know, and we're protecting our young people. We hide all the ones that get in trouble, though, buddy. We only tell you about the ones that didn't. Why? Because it makes you look good. Man, if people would start realizing that their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and without him we can do nothing, and anything that's accomplished in our life, he not only should get the credit, but he will get the credit for. And he says, I will not give my glory to another one at any time that those people think they've accomplished anything. They've accomplished nothing. If they'd ever get to that point as a Christian, they'd begin to love the one that made them instead of feeling like, well, I'm okay now. I'm saved. I'm better than them. Oh, you wouldn't say that, but you'd feel it in your heart. You will. And the more standards you hold up in your life, the better you feel than the other guy that doesn't have those standards. And that's that stuff where you set up your own vessels and your own cisterns. And you don't need God as much as you think you did until you get sick or you're about ready to die or you get some other catastrophic event in your life and now you need God. You don't realize you need him every moment of your life. That song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Sweet hour of prayer. Oh, God, I just lied again. Now, I've prayed for over an hour. I've prayed for a couple hours at a time. And I've been in some really good prayer meetings when the time flew by and you didn't even know you were praying. And he just filling your heart with stuff. You can't even describe it. But that other kind of praying, that's hard work. You pray for everything you can think of, boy, and you look down and 5 minutes are gone. That's hard work. And I'll say, well, passing through the air, farewells, farewells, sweet hour of prayer. You know, we sing some songs we ought to repent of. You know that? Anyway, so moving along. Now, you got the Lord as you've received him, and you get this water of life somehow. He goes into this holy of holies that he created. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I think creature and creator are some kind of synonymous. You are recreated. I think it's recreation. You get recreated in Christ. You're a new creature. Where is that new creature? He creates that holy of holies within you, and he moves into that. And then your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ says, I'll knock, and any man opens the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. And you're in Christ, and Christ's in God. Where are they? They're inside. You already drank of that fountain of living waters. You just didn't realize it at the time. You thought all you got was the blood. It went way beyond that. Anyway, Zechariah 14:8. It says, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be. Now look over here at Ezekiel 47, 1-7. Ezekiel 47:1-7. So what's in Ezekiel? There's some crazy stuff in there. You get over there and start reading that thing from the beginning on down through, you think this guy was some kind of a UFO nut and a freak of nature and lost his mind. You'd think the same thing about John over in Revelation. I mean, what are these scorpions that come out of the deeps with faces like lion and hair like women and stings in their tails like scorpions and hooves of horses? I mean, what are you talking about there? And those things torment men individually. I mean, you stop thinking about that World War II. Here's these bombers flying around with guns in the front, guns in the back. Well, there they are. They're flying out. That ain't nothing like this. This is something else entirely. Anyway, up the top of my page right there, it says the vision of the holy waters. You wonder where Catholics get that holy water from? They get it because it's an imitation living water. You know where they get that water? They get it out of the faucet. They get that water out of the faucet, same way they get that blood of Christ out of a wine bottle. Same way they buy those wafers down at Christian bookstore. So what's that got to do with anything? Then by prayer, we turn them into something that they're not. Man, if you believe that, you are gullible. Just because somebody says it happens don't mean it happens. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get next to Jesus Christ. They're trying to get next to this quote unquote holy water, this living water. And there's something very special about that living water. We've been on it for a few weeks now. Anyway, moving along. Ezekiel 47, 1-7. Watch this stuff. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward from the front door of the house, stood toward the east, and waters came from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. You know where that stuff comes out of? It comes out of that throne room. He said it's coming one way and it's coming another way. That matches all kinds of stuff in this book. Anytime I ever heard this message preached, it was preached about, boy, you don't have to worry about it. When you get down in that water, God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about drowning and sinking. He's going to take care of you, man. You can't get over, but he'll get you over. That ain't bad water. That's some good water right there. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me out of the way without the utter gate by the way, and he looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the lion in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That make you think about going out there to Pensacola Beach, and you go out, and that water's kind of shallow, 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 shallow. Finally gets up over your head. Now we got to swim. You want to try to swim across the Gulf? That's a mess of water coming out from under those doors. You know that? That's not somebody turning on the faucet. That's some serious amount of water. And he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen this? And he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river, there were many trees on the one side and on the other. You think that's bad water? That ain't bad water, man. That's some good stuff. Look at Revelation 22, 1-2. Revelation 22, 1-2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. He showed me a pure river of water of life. What's special about that water? There's some life in that water. I'm not talking about filtered osmosis, et cetera, et cetera. He said, you're saying that water can make you come alive? Listen, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. When he creates, he says, by the breath of his mouth. You don't think there's some power in that stuff? There's some power there. He says, he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river, there were the trees of life. Multiple, not just one. Trees. What kind? Trees of life. A bunch of them there. Which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healings of the nations. So what's going on there? God's trying to tell you something about himself. This stuff isn't about something, oh, that's fascinating. Boy, that's going to be interesting. He's going to be the one that's interesting. And you're not going to look down at that water and at those trees and go, oh, man, wait till I show so-and-so this. Boy, they're going to really, oh, man, I'm going to, look at this. Look at how clear that water is. No, it ain't going to be like that. It's going to be the way it's supposed to be down here. You see that Gulf of Mexico? You get that aura down that beach. You ever seen that? That's incredible to me. That aura, that just light bouncing off that sand and bouncing back up into the atmosphere. You got sunlight hitting the top of those molecules, and you got enough light intensity bouncing on the bottom of those molecules, and you're getting twice as much light right through that aura. That's where that's coming from. You go down there and you look out into that water, and that water is clear, and you got that white sand underneath it, and that water is such a beautiful color. And you look out across that thing, and you're supposed to say, man, God, you are incredible. You can make some stuff. You know that? He says, yeah, I know. I said it was very good. I'm glad you bothered to notice. You know what we do instead? We go out there and we look at it and say, oh, ain't that pretty? It isn't supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be when you see that clear river and those trees, you go, man, God, you can make some really neat stuff. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. What do you mean I ain't seen nothing yet? I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man what God prepared for them that serve him. Did I hear somebody say serve him? Work for him? No, love him. If you want to get in on this deal, you'll start trying to figure out how to love him more, and it isn't because you're working harder for him. That's a dead-end street, and you can't do enough. You know why? Because without me, you can do nothing. You can't take credit for anything you do. Nothing. He gets the credit, or there isn't any credit to be had. Let's close in prayer.